Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, in a state like Massachusetts, the options for higher education are nearly endless. But in last night's debate between Republican presidential candidates, Senator Marco Rubio pointed out one option that's often forgotten.
For the life of me, I don't know why we have stigmatized vocational education. Welders make more money than philosophers. We need more welders and less philosophers.
Well, it's funny how politics can make strange bedfellows, because Rubio has many like-minded thinkers right here in Boston. The Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University has recently published a new study that says something along the lines of what Marco Rubio says, that just 7 years from now, a majority of jobs in Massachusetts will require no more than vocational education or an associate's degree. But there's not enough capacity in the state's current vocational schools to meet that future need. So joining us now to discuss why is co-author of the report, Barry Bluestone. He's director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy. Barry, great to have you back on the show.
Nice to be here, Meghna.
Also with us is Bob Dutch. He's superintendent of Upper Cape Cod Regional School District, including the Regional Technical School. Bob Dutch, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Barry, let's start with you. I'm curious, put us 7 years from the future. What kind of jobs are we talking about? You found that the majority, 63%, won't require more than a vocational or associate's degree?
Exactly, and I was kind of amazed at the results myself. This is research done by my colleague Alan Clayton Matthews and myself, and what we did is, using statistics from the federal government and the state government, projected out to 2022 how many new jobs we'd have in Massachusetts and how many job openings we'd have. What's interesting is we'll have about 381,000 more jobs by 2022, our best estimate. But we're going to have to find 1.1 million new workers to take existing jobs that will be in which openings will occur because of retirements or people moving out. And those are in standard jobs like food prep, healthcare practitioners, business and financial operations, computers, personal care, and so forth. In fact, of the 381,000 new jobs, brand new jobs, 45% are just in those occupations I just mentioned. And many of those occupations require technical education. Think of a chef, or think of somebody who's working as a healthcare tech.
Right.
But they don't necessarily need 4 years at Northeastern, where I teach.
Right. So this is interesting. And Bob Dutch, let me just turn right to you, because on the one hand, you know, some people might hear vocational education and think sort of, you know, your grandfather's voc ed. But that's not really what we're talking about. I mean, there, as Barry mentioned, it runs the span from food prep to healthcare tech, which can be quite, you know, advanced.
Agreed. The programs that are offered are very different today than they were 10 years ago and certainly 25 years ago. We find that some students have interest in the licensed trades like carpentry, plumbing, which have a great deal of demand throughout the region, and many people are retiring, as the report indicated. But we also have some of the other programs that are very technical in nature and require a two-year associate's degree. In some cases, they can work on that degree while they're in the workplace, which is one of the advantages as well. Mm. So the type of student that we see in the vocational schools now is very different than the students were there previously.
Yeah, so Barry, I'm still sort of taken aback by the reality of these numbers. I mean, mm-hmm. a majority of jobs won't require a four-year degree. You also found that the state's current capacity for vocational ed, the vocational schools, may only fill, 12% of those future jobs. To me, this completely runs in opposition to what sort of, I guess, we in the media popularly talk about the ideas economy, about the tech economy, about the healthcare, about, you know, all these other things that do require a four-year degree, a graduate degree even. Is that is not the economy of Massachusetts' future?
Well, what happens is, if you go into anything, go into a hospital, go into a biotech firm in Kendall Square, go into a manufacturing establishment, you're going to find people who have PhDs and MDs. But the majority of people in those institutions are technicians and others who need very high skills, but not necessarily what you need to get in a four-year education. The other thing that's really important, what drives this, is I said we had about 371,000 new jobs. That's about 37,000 new jobs per year. But altogether, we're going to need about 1.1 million replacement workers. So about 780,000 of the job openings are for people who already have those jobs but are retiring or leaving. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do is replace their skills. And those are in many of the traditional occupations, including production workers. So take production workers in manufacturing. We're actually going to have about 4,000 fewer jobs. But we're going to have 27,000 job openings to replace existing workers. Some of those do need education beyond high school. And in fact, about half of vocational graduate students do go on to college.
Yeah.
And so they're fulfilling a lot of our needs. Problem is, we've got waiting lists of 3,000 plus trying to get into vocational schools who can't get in. We're not putting enough resources into the vocational schools to open up that pipeline to meet manufacturers' needs or to meet the needs of many, many other industries.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So maybe we should, you know, here in the Athens of America, we ought to take our focus, which is so often on Boston, and really expand it statewide. Because I was looking at some Massachusetts numbers, and currently today, the percentage of the population age 25 or above that has a 4-year degree or more is roughly 40% in Massachusetts. That's higher than the nationwide average, which is 28%. But that means 60% of the population has some other form of education. But let's turn it back to this question of the economy of the future and jobs. I mean, Bob Dutch, are your graduates, are they immediately finding jobs after they wrap up with you?
Those students who want to find jobs are able to. What vocational technical schools do very well is identify what the needs of their region are and target those professions. At Upper Cape Tech, for example, we have a marine technology program, and 100% of those students get jobs in the marinas. Other programs where students are required to get a 2-year degree, that's another measure of success as to how well they're getting into that industry. We do follow-ups after they graduate, 1 year and 5 year, and those students who continue on for the 2-year programs are also very successful in finding jobs in their industry, which is somewhat contrary to the statistic overall.
Do you have a wait list already?
We do.
How long is it?
Right now, our wait list is only about 55 students. This is the smallest it has been in several years. Historically, we accept 180 students, and we have a wait list of about 150. Mm. The demand has changed significantly. We've expanded our enrollment as much as practical, given the space issues that we have. Huh. And that's the real challenge.
The space issues.
Yes. It's about capacity. Both the space, physical space, but also the age of the building. They were built in the 60s and 70s. So most of our buildings, although they're very well maintained because the students take pride in the plumbers and electricians, they're taking care of the building themselves. But a lot of the infrastructure is outdated, and that's where the resources are strained.
So interestingly enough, the study was commissioned by the Massachusetts School Building Authority. I mean, Barry, what were some of your recommendations to them then?
Well, the reason why the Mass School Building Authority wanted this study done is they're getting requests from the regional technical schools for funding from the state for either new construction or repair or renovation or equipment. And Jack McCarthy, who runs that agency, said, Barry, I want to make sure that our vocational schools are preparing students for tomorrow's jobs, not yesterday's mm-hmm. jobs. So what we were able to show them is that, in fact, with this study and a new one coming out next month, the vocational schools in the state are actually doing a fabulous job of adapting to the new realities of the new labor force. They are moving more of their resources into the areas where we're going to have much more demand for trained workers in the future. So our report to Jack McCarthy and to his boss, Treasurer Deb Goldberg, is that, yes, indeed, these schools should be getting more resources, and they're not only going to meet great needs for our employers throughout the Commonwealth, but they're also going to increase a lot of educational opportunities for kids young people for whom these are the perfect schools.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you, we mentioned the wait list with Bob. Barry, I think one of the last times we had you on last year was that there was a Northeastern law school study that found that the wait list for vocational schools across the state was long. In fact, like thousands of potential students had to be turned away. 21 of the 31 schools in Massachusetts had some kind of wait list, vocational schools. Has that changed significantly, or is that pretty much still the same? There's still great demand.
Pretty much the same. In fact, the demand may even be higher now.
Yeah, the demand is significant, especially in the cities where there are a greater number of students who may see and families who may see the benefit of vocational education. So those are some true areas where there's some significant demand.
Mm. Now, what about the sort of the moment that we find ourselves in regarding people's perception of higher education overall? Because, you know, we've done 1,000 stories about the increasing costs. You know, if you do go to a four-year college, most people come out, or many at least, come out with some form of student debt. And that's really changing people's attitudes about the value. I mean, it's a question of value of higher education. So are more people, do you think, looking towards the value of a vocational education in terms of, you know, how much it might give them in the future versus its current cost?
I can speak to that anecdotally. We talk with a lot of parents and we talk with a lot of graduates to identify why they chose a vocational education. And in many instances, it's a recognition that the costs for college and the payback, the return on that investment is not what they would hope it would be, number one. Number two, they also identify that what the students are learning in the technical schools are jobs that will continue to be of value and needed regardless of the economy.
You can't outsource your plumber.
That's correct. Correct.
Barry, did you want to jump in here?
Yeah, those are good anecdotes. We're actually going to release another study that we've been doing for this new Alliance for Technical Education, Vocational Technical Education. We've actually surveyed over 5,000 people in the Commonwealth over the last 6 months, including 350 employers who are desperate to see the expansion in vocational education. But we also surveyed 3,500-plus current students who are telling us that this is exactly the education they want. They're very pleased with the education. We looked at we did another survey of graduates of vocational education, telling us that this really set them up for great jobs or going on to college. Parents, employers, one of the things that's happening is there used to be a lot of stigma attached to vocational education. You know, that's where the kids who couldn't do college go. Not any longer. Many of these schools are reporting MCAS scores that are higher than the comprehensive schools in the same district. Parents are starting to learn about this and are beginning to realize that this not only may save a lot of money, but that these young people coming out of the vocational schools are setting themselves up for very good middle-class jobs.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you. So it seems as if, you know, if we just take a pure market perspective on this, that there's great demand and not enough opportunity to fill that demand. Are there other ways, you know, beyond building more vocational schools, are there other ways to fill that demand? Apprenticeship programs. I mean, if businesses are the ones who say we need these employees now and in the future, you know, can they do more apprenticeships? Can they fund more co-op programs? That kind of thing.
And indeed, the employer survey says that's exactly what they want to do. They're also talking about the possibility of opening up their shops when they're not running 24/7 and having students come into their shops which have the latest equipment, let's say manufacturers doing very high-end manufacturing, and having some of their retiring skilled workers act as encore teachers in addition to the teachers in the vocational schools. So I think we're not only seeing the state stepping up, the governor's all over this issue and he realizes how important it is. His workforce cabinet is working on this. But we're finding a lot of the employers are now saying, I want to step up and really play a role in this.
Hmm. Well, final question to you, Bob Dutch. I mean, are you seeing a change in, I'm not quite sure how to ask this, but the kind of student who comes to you?
I would think so. I've been in vocational technical education for 16 years, and many of the students who were in my classroom or in the school when I arrived there wouldn't be able to get in today. And the question that we ask and that I am concerned about is, what would happen to those students today?
Uh-huh.
Many of them that I continue to know are business owners, taxpayers, and homeowners in the community. And I'm not certain that would happen if they didn't have the opportunity that they had at a vocational school. So from that perspective, we're seeing a different student, certainly much more motivated, which is part of what's driving the process. It's a competitive process to be accepted into the technical school because of the limitations of space. So you are seeing the student who's more willing to advocate for themselves.
Well, Bob Dutch is superintendent of the Upper Cape Cod Regional School District, which includes the Upper Cape Cod Regional Technical School. Bob Dutch, thank you so much for coming in and joining us today.
My pleasure.
And Barry Bluestone, economist at Northeastern University and founding director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy. Barry, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Same here. Thank you.